This is Jim Inkster coming today on Talk Louisiana. We will hear from State Senator John Milkovich, Democrat from Shreveport. John Milkovich has a bill that would prevent abortions in Louisiana after the 15th week of pregnancy. Also, former state lawmaker Melissa Flournoy, a Democrat and Republican political consultant Ali Akbar, on the fates of President Trump, as well as Governor John Bel Edwards and Secretary of State Tom Shedler, who says he will stay in office. He will not resign despite allegations of sexual misconduct. And we'll hear from Fairleigh Jackson on the latest regarding Preserve Louisiana, a major Irish event, and Patrice Walker and Tammy Duncan Swope on the American Businesswomen's Association. Now the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. Locally, it's 297-5633. And our email is talk@talklouisiana.org. The Ides of March version of our program today, by the way, is the 83rd birthday of one Reverend Jimmy Lee Swaggart, who continues to be featured in over 100 countries with his television programming, one of the foremost televangelists of all time, who survived a major sex scandal 30 years ago. We begin our conversation with John Milkovich, state senator from Shreveport, a Democrat, albeit a very conservative Democrat. And good morning to you, Senator Milkovich.
Hey, is this Mr. Inkster?
It is Mr. Inkster. And how are things down
there? There's only one of you.
Thank goodness.
You know what? Thank God we have you. That's what I'm thinking.
Well,
the devil doesn't like what you're doing, but God's just, yeah, he's on your side.
Well, I'm okay if I'm on God's side.
Come on.
Or God's
exactly
on my
right.
side. That's even better. But
there you go.
Anyway, speaking of the Lord, some say your legislation at times is affected immensely by your faith. Would that be fair?
Well, it's entirely driven by my faith, is more accurate.
And Senator,
you know, and Jim, when we ran in 2015, we made very clear that we were not really wedded to the political parties. That we stated very clearly that we were running on the Bible principles and the Constitution. So, that's why I think the Bible is the blueprint for how we need to live.
Well, you are a Democrat, and many people who are as evangelical as you are not Democrats. Why have you stayed in the Democratic Party?
You know, and by the way, and I am, of course, dropping names, I think Billy Graham was a Democrat. Were you aware of that?
Well, he was a Democrat who was born in 1918. There are a lot of people who were Democrats of his vintage who just didn't bother to change their party affiliation.
I think you know what I think. What you're telling me is I'm a 1918 vintage Democrat. That's what.
Well, you were born about a half a century later, but
by the way, thank you for that. Saying that, it's not entirely accurate.
Well, it's almost true.
I
think we're pretty close. But John Milkovich, you have a bill right now that would prevent abortions after 15 weeks in Louisiana. What prompted you to pursue this legislation?
Well, listen. You know, I often say that everything good that we do is teamwork, and then if there's any flaws or any errors or, you know, if the work isn't up, John Milkovich takes full responsibility. So I think this is a great bill, but I don't want to take responsibility for it. It's a product of teamwork. And look, let's give credit where credit is due. Mississippi passed a law to that effect. You know, that's an area where the Bible Belt South can lead the rest of the nation as standing up for the unborn. And there's just a great team. You know, there's just such a strong pro-life community in Louisiana. The church, you know, the Protestant church, the Catholic church, some great pro-life organizations, Louisiana Right to Life, the Catholic bishops, Louisiana Power Coalition, Louisiana Family Forum, and I'm leaving out a dozen others, Concerned Women of America. You know, that's... And this really gets to the heart of it, and I need to be succinct so people can hear your wonderful questions. But it's look, this isn't really theologically or philosophically sophisticated to say that, but we just view abortion as murder. We're killing babies. And, you know, whether it's snipping their spinal cords or delivering them alive and, you know, severing their
all right.
spine.
Well, just, yeah, I don't think we need to go into all that
detail. No, but it's murder.
At 15 weeks, there's a question of whether this is constitutionally solid. Do you think it can withstand a court challenge?
By the way, that is a great, great question. And I think that this is what I think about on that issue. Number one, I believe Roe v. Wade said that, you know, allowed abortion in the first 12 weeks. So I think this doesn't even violate Roe v. Wade. But number two, we have, as Christians and as traditionalists, people with old school values, we have backed off and surrendered the battlefield. Every time the federal courts issue a ruling, it's like some of the, you know, legislators and administrators and governors, retreat at high speed. Well, you know what? I think we're supposed to engage the federal courts, and we're supposed to participate in democracy. And I don't think it's our job to go ahead and get pre-approval of state legislation by the federal courts. You know, and I said last year on another pro-life bill, I don't think that we should refrain from doing the right thing today because some federal judge may do the wrong thing tomorrow. I think we need to go ahead and engage them. I think we need to push the envelope. I think we need to fight the culture war and not back down when we're right.
Well, there are those who would say, Senator, that they might agree with you. This is a very conservative state, but we have so many other issues. We just had a failed special session. The budget is up in the air. We may have to condense this session. Why get into such a controversial and potentially a divisive argument like abortion at this point?
Another great question. You know, and I was asked when I was running, what's the most important issue? And I thought, you know, it's abortion. We're killing babies. That's a curse. It's an abomination. It's bloodletting. And I think it's the most important issue in every session until we stop all abortions in Louisiana. And then, hey, I love to see the day when Louisiana will lead America in stopping abortion. I think it brings a curse. As I said, it's murder. I don't think we can stand quietly by and allow the abortion mills. And, you know, let's just get real. The abortion clinics talk about, well, we're here to protect the woman's natural right, right to choose and their health and baloney. As soon as it becomes non-profitable, these abortion clinics are out of business, out of town, shut down like a Jiffy Lube, Tank and Tote, Dunkin' Donuts.
All right. Well, President Trump, when asked by Maureen Dowd of the New York Times on how many abortions that he's been responsible for, he declined to answer the question. And the president does not talk the talk the way you do, although he on the record is, quote, pro-life, anti-abortion. Here's President Trump on January 19th giving his best shot and not doing very well talking about abortion in America.
Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change.
All right, that's President Trump basically saying he would ban birth. I don't think he meant that, but...
No, I don't think he did.
But here you are a Democrat, and you have a Republican president who's on your side on this issue.
Hey, that's, and I think that's a right stance of President Trump. And, I applaud him for doing that. I commend him. And it's really ironic because... And this gets kind of edgy and kind of complex and, life is stranger than fiction. But this is a president who has had a interesting, colorful life and hasn't really, as far as we know, had a strong and consistent, faith basis to his life. And he gets elected president and he's making stances for religious freedoms and for the unborn and for constitutional liberties. And it's an encouragement. It's a little bit confusing. It's to many of us in some ways, and it's not linear. It's not simplistic, but there's some complexity to it. But the fact of the matter is the president is taking a stand for the unborn. His vice president is. So we're very encouraged by that. And listen, I am old-fashioned enough to believe if we get right on issues like abortion, Jim, I believe that, you know, God can bless our financial, put our financial house in order. Am I saying that we can be careless and neglect the budget and spending and taxes? No, absolutely. That's part of our responsibility.
Well, do you give President Trump a mulligan, as Tony Perkins has said, for his past indiscretions?
You know, what I believe is this. I believe that all of us need grace and mercy. And I think also this. I think, you know, ultimately you look at a man's heart. Is he imperfect? He absolutely is. The only perfect man that walked the face of the earth was nailed to a tree, and he was not only man, all man, he was all God. So all of us need grace and mercy. But I don't think we simply say, well, someone's done a lot of wrong things, we need to support him. I think it goes beyond that. I think you look at a person's heart and where they are, what they're trying to do. And, you know, do I believe the president is imperfect? Absolutely. I know he is, like I am. Do I believe that he's got a basic love for America? Yes. Do I believe, and this is getting a little bit inside baseball, but, you know, there's a group of ministers that, you know, have personal relationships with President Trump, and I hear secondhand and have for some time that he has a deep reverence for men and women of faith.
Well, John Milkovich, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, Senator, and thank you for joining us. Certainly, you're going to provide some interest from all sides of the political spectrum during this session. Thank you, Senator.
Jim, you do a great job.
Thank you. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. And we're slated to be joined by former state lawmaker Melissa Flournoy and Ali Akbar, Republican political consultant. And we're going to discuss with them the ways of the world, a Democrat, Ms. Flournoy, and a Republican, Mr. Akbar, on opposite sides of the political spectrum. First of all, in Louisiana, let's start with Dr. Flournoy. Dr. Flournoy, John Bel Edwards is running for re-election next year. He's being challenged mightily, it appears, by Senator John Neely Kennedy. Your thoughts about the governor's re-election quest?
Well, Jim, it's always great to be on with you, and I think Governor Edwards is probably going to get re-elected in 2019, and I think John Kennedy can't figure out what he stands for. So I think it's going to be a real interesting discussion. And frankly, I'm a little frustrated by John Kennedy.
Well, John Kennedy is sending out almost daily press releases attacking our governor. His latest is regarding a visit before the parole board, Board of Pardons and Parole, regarding convicted murderer Clyde Giddens. John Kennedy writes that Governor Edwards' so-called criminal justice reform package gave Mr. Giddens an undeserved gift by making limited mobility offenders eligible for medical treatment furloughs, and so he is opposing any release for any reason for Mr. Giddens, who pleaded guilty in 1964 to murder. This criminal justice package, it in the end, was backed by none other than Senator Kennedy's mentor, David Vitter. But nonetheless, Senator Kennedy and others, including the Attorney General Jeff Landry, they have attacked the outcome of the criminal justice reform. Is this a good thing? Is the governor on the right track, or does Senator Kennedy have a point?
Well, I don't know the specifics of that particular case, so I can't comment on that. But I do think that you've had a great convergence of organizations, including law enforcement and the DAs and advocacy groups and attorneys, to help support the criminal justice package that was passed last year. I think we have to do more to help people transition back into society and help them get jobs and be good citizens. But I think we shouldn't attack the criminal justice reform. We should help support the implementation to be effective.
877-217-5757 is your number. And now we're talking with Ali Akbar along with Dr. Melissa Flournoy. Ali is a prominent young Republican activist who is involved at high levels of GOP strategy making. And as far as what's going on in Louisiana, Ali Akbar, I think you have said that you believe that Governor Edwards is in deep peril as he seeks re-election, and is Senator Kennedy the man who's going to give him fits next year, if your prediction is right?
It's looking more like it. I think, you know, the fundamentals obviously favor, you know, a conservative, and conservatives are finding their natural home in the Republican Party. I believe there still are more registered Democrats in Louisiana than registered Republicans. But save a primary infight that we had in 2015, I can't foresee John Bell hanging on.
You think he's toast?
I think he's toast.
Is Senator Kennedy the likely challenger?
I think he's the most likely challenger, but I, you know, a lot could happen between now and then, and you know, it depends on how messy Washington gets. I think the messier Washington gets, the more tempting it is for John Kennedy to go ahead and make that bid. And I think things are going to get pretty nasty in Washington.
877-217-5757 or 297-5633, Pat in Mid-City. Pat, good morning. You're on the air with Melissa Fornoy and Ali Akbar.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My one comment is about Mr. Kennedy. If Mr. Kennedy would spend more time trying to become a great senator versus attacking the current governor for political reasons only, I think we might get more of the monies that we need for all of the different things that Louisiana needs. Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. I suspect Pat is preaching to the choir with you, Melissa, but she believes Senator Kennedy should be more attuned to national stories.
Well, I will say this. Senator Kennedy just ran for a six-year term for the United States Senate, and I think he should focus and do his job in the Senate. If he didn't want to be a senator, he shouldn't have run. And I'm just very frustrated by Senator Kennedy because I don't think he is focusing on the needs of Louisiana in the Senate, and he is taking pot shots at the governor. But I disagree with Allie. I think you're going to have a very messy a lot of Republicans wanting to run for governor, including Congressman Abraham, Senator Hewitt, Attorney General Jeff Landry. I think there are a lot of folks that would want to run. And so I think the Republicans are just a hot mess, and I think you're going to see John Bell get reelected.
All right. Allie, that would appear to be a prescription for defeat, as it was in 2015, to have a plethora of Republican candidates. Will the GOP, under its new leadership, decide to coalesce behind a single candidate in the primary, or will we have a variety of Republicans on the ballot?
We're going to have multiple Republicans on the ballot. The question is, will it be so bitter that they won't be able to coalesce behind each other in the general? And I think that none of these men hate each other. I can't imagine the campaigns being as bitter as they were before. You know, I worked for Jay Darden, and I supported John Bell in the general because Vitter ran a nasty campaign. What the public saw, and even nastier behind the scenes, and getting down to very, very dirty tricks between operatives. So,
all right, Scott in Opelousas, you're on the air with Ali Akbar and Melissa Fornoy. Hi, Scott.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning. The previous caller, I think, might answer my question. When can you remember the last time that a governor of Louisiana and a senator actually worked together to move the state forward? You know, it's kind of like we just, the senator just in waiting to become governor. Thank you. Like I said, when last time you think we had one that actually worked together?
All right. Well, we've had that, but there is always some rivalry between the governor and senators in Louisiana for whatever reason, going back to Edwin Edwards and Bennett Johnston. But nonetheless, nothing like this, where Senator Kennedy sends out almost daily missives attacking the governor. And Senator Kennedy, of course, is a busy man in Washington. He gets lots of attention there and is always there with an able soundbite. Melissa Fornoy, is this new terrain as far as the vindictive nature of the exchanges going on between the governor's mansion and the senator's office?
I think so, because I even think Mary Landry was willing to work with Bobby Jindal to put Louisiana first. And, you know, I go all the way back to Bennett Johnston, who was a senator since 1972. And, you know, I think Bennett was always able to work with governors no matter what of what party, and John Brough. You know, one of the good things about Louisiana is that over the years we've gotten a lot of federal money for infrastructure because our senators were willing to work with each other and work with the governor. So, you know, Kennedy serves no useful purpose for the state of Louisiana, you know, just causing chaos for the governor.
All right. A listener asks about Tom Shedler, and for those who thought that the Secretary of State in Louisiana would go before the Secretary in Washington, they were wrong. Rex Tillerson is out. Tom Shedler is in, and he says he's going to stay until the end of his term. Is that wise, Melissa Fornoy?
You know, I think Tom Shedler should resign, and I think he's going to wish he resigned because Attorney Jill Craft is incredibly skilled.
All right. Ali Akbar, what do you think? Tom Shedler, should he resign now or should he stay till the end of his term?
I think he should stay till the end of his term.
877-217-5757. We're going to talk about some national matters as well with Dr. Melissa Flournoy, former state lawmaker, joining us today from the town she used to represent, the city she used to represent, Shreveport. Ali Akbar joining us from his old homestead in Texas. He's now a prominent political consultant in Louisiana. And the email, talk@talklouisiana.org, is on the ready as well if you'd like to send us an email. We're back after this break for the news with Karen Henderson on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Ali Baltazar and Becca Dill are producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. And you can send an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. Ali Akbar on the right, Melissa Fornoy on the left, and two nights ago in Pennsylvania, in a conservative district, a young man, 33-year-old Marine Democrat, Connor Lamb, he defeated Rick Saccone in a bit of a surprise, 627 votes separating the two out of more than 230,000 cast. And some are saying this is a harbinger of things to come. Melissa Flournoy, is this a significant event, or is this just one of those things in which a very attractive conservative Democrat defeated a ho-hum Republican?
Well, I think the tide is turning against the president politically, and I think that a number of Democratic candidates across the country are doing much better than folks predicted. And so I'm expecting that the 2018 midterm elections, the Democrats will pick up quite a few seats. Unfortunately, here in Louisiana, I think it's still very difficult for Democratic candidates to win in congressional elections, but I think we're going to have a few good challengers around the state, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because I do feel like the tide is turning.
Ali Akbar, is this a significant development, or is it nothing, or somewhere in between?
I think it's a very significant development in that it gauged our temperature. Now, that's an interesting district. The voters there aren't very educated. They're not reliable votes for the GOP, but Trump did win it by 20 points. And Saccone wasn't fundraising or running a campaign, so that sucked for us. But if that district is in contention, then 100 other seats are in contention, and the Democrats pick up the House in the fall.
David in Atlanta. Hello, David. You're on Talk Louisiana with Ali Akbar and Melissa Fornoy.
And that district was gerrymandered so the Republicans would win it in a slam dunk. Larry Kudlow, President Trump's latest choice to be chief economic advisor, he was an economic advisor to Ronald Reagan on taxes, and we tripled the national debt. He doesn't have a degree in economics. He was the chief economist for Bear Stearns, and Bear Stearns disintegrated during the mortgage crisis, and he has a history, I believe, of cocaine addiction. So,
all right, well, what's your question?
Well, okay, my question is, Larry Kudlow is a staunch believer in dynamic scoring, which Douglas Holtz Egan said is a fairy tale. Do you believe tax cuts pay for themselves? And Douglas Holtz Egan was a chairman of, he was an advisor to George W. Bush.
All right, Ali Akbar. Larry Kudlow, a man familiar with too many of us by virtue of his decades on television, He does have a background in the Reagan administration, and he is one of those supply side guys. Is he a good choice?
I like him a lot, and you know, he was passed up by the president the first time for chairman of the Economic Council, and so Trump is bringing in a lot of folks that supported him enthusiastically, and Kudlow is respected by the Wall Street Journal, many economists, and he's going to represent the supply side well.
And I have no knowledge of Mr. Kudlow having any kind of drug issues. Melissa Flournoy, your thoughts about Larry Kudlow as the revolving door continues with the president. Kudlow is the new guy in charge of the economy. And right now we have a new person that the president wants to be Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, who will succeed Rex Tillerson if the Senate votes yes. And Rex Tillerson, of course, lasted less than 14 months after leaving a huge job as president and CEO of Exxon Mobil.
Well, I just continue to be concerned about this culture of incompetence and chaos in the White House. And I think that Mr. Kudlow has probably spent too many years as a pundit and has sort of lost his track of sort of the academic side of economics, which is really what's needed in that role. And so I'm continuing to be concerned that we have amateurs running the government.
Here's a question or comment from Delio. John Kennedy's latest inflammatory statements serve a purpose. Why they obscure his vote yesterday to free Wall Street banks to again fleece the public, which will soon return us to the economic calamity we faced in 2008. John Kennedy is a busy bee, but he is a big business guy and has worn that mantle proudly. Your thoughts about him perhaps changing the subject with this attack on the governor and criminal justice reform? Melissa?
Well, I think Kennedy has sort of created this sort of homespun, hokey sort of little persona to get on TV. And so, you know, I have really no idea what the man stands for anymore or what he's trying to accomplish.
All right. Is some of the criticism directed at Senator Kennedy just politics? After all, he is a man of stature. He's been in public life for a very long time as an appointed official, and then he's been an elected official since 1999, Ali Akbar. Does he have a legitimate place at the table when it comes to issues of all kinds?
Issues of all kinds. I mean, we should want all of our public servants to weigh in on these issues, especially ones that represent the entirety of the state. The bill that passed the Senate yesterday passed 67-31. So the Democrats joined with Republicans in fulfilling Donald Trump's campaign promise to roll back Dodd-Frank, which killed community banks across Louisiana and other states. And so this was a very good bill. He didn't need the distraction.
877-217-5757 is your number for Ali Akbar and Melissa Flournoy. And we're not even 14 months into the Trump presidency, and every day is a new adventure. Melissa, this gentleman, Rex Tillerson, he left a job with Exxon, a company for which he worked from his days at Texas A&M to the present, almost the present. He left to become a member of the Trump administration, but gave up the top job at one of the great corporate giants of the world, and then was fired with a tweet. What do you make of that?
Well, I'm just continuing to be offended by the chaos in the White House and by the president's lack of professionalism and his lack of respect for the people that he's hired. And no one of Rex Tillerson's stature in the community and in the corporate world should take a job with the president because they are not going to be treated professionally. And, you know, I just think it's more of this culture of incompetence and chaos. And frankly, I feel sorry for Rex Tillerson.
Ann on Bluebonnet. Hi, Ann. Good morning. Good to hear from you.
Yes, good morning. I have a question for Mr. Akbar, and that is, what does he think about Trump's comments yesterday that he made up facts when he was negotiating with the Prime Minister of Canada on a deal, and how does that how does he feel about that issue with the upcoming talks with North Korea?
Thank you, Ann. Allie, she says the president says he made up facts. The president often talks about fake news and others, in his view, who are misconstruing things or perhaps outright lying. Does he lie?
I think everybody lies. For all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But, that was between the prime minister and the president. Those weren't official talks for renegotiation of NAFTA. You know, that's banter between two leaders. And then, you know, what happens usually is then your economic advisors or somebody in the State Department renegotiates a treaty or whatever. So, if the report's true, it made me laugh. And it's Donald Trump being Donald Trump, negotiating always.
The president has not weighed in on his alleged relationship with Stormy Daniels. He's had others comment for him. Purportedly, he had his lawyer pay Miss Daniels $130,000 to not talk about the relationship. She is a Baton Rouge girl, will be celebrating her 39th birthday on Saturday, St. Patrick's Day. And Allie, I doubt that she'll be getting a birthday card from the president, but how much of an issue will this be, or will this go away very soon?
I don't think it's an issue. It's certainly not an issue for the American people. The media seems, they did some analysis of coverage, and Stormy Daniels got more coverage than the success of where we are so far with our talks with North Korea. But, you know, I laughed at a story I saw this morning that Stormy Daniels' mother said that she'd vote for Donald Trump four more times if she could. So,
all right.
It's entertainment.
Well, what if Hillary Clinton had been involved with a porn star and her lawyer had paid him or her $130,000 to not talk about it? Would that be a story that the conservative media would be all over?
Yes, it would.
At least you acknowledge it. Melissa Flournoy, Melissa?
Well, all I can say is Paula Jones and Monica Lewinsky got President Clinton impeached, and I'm old enough to remember all that, and I think Stormy Daniels and this president, President Trump, he's in way more trouble than he realizes, and the man can't tell the truth if his life depended on it, so I'm hoping he ends up deposed in a civil suit with Stormy Daniels, and they just get him for lying, because he can't tell the truth, so I think Stormy may be the one that brings him down.
It is amazing how Louisiana often plays a part in these kinds of stories. Donna Rice, who brought down Gary Hart, was from New Orleans, and of course his association with Billy Broadhurst, a longtime Louisiana politico, took him on the monkey business. That torpedoed Senator Hart's quest for the presidency, and now we have Stormy Daniels, a.k.a. Stephanie Clifford, who, according to reports, consorted with the president at the Beverly Hills Hotel when he was going by the name David Dennison. It is amazing, Melissa, how Louisiana always seems to be at the forefront, particularly on sordid stories of this kind. Did I leave you speechless on that one?
Yes, you did, and the music came on, fortunately.
All right, 877-217-5757. We'll return and spend a few more minutes with Ali Akbar and Melissa Flournoy after this time out on WRKM. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. A few more minutes with Ali Akbar and Melissa Flournoy, Steve in Lafayette. Hi, Steve, you're on the air.
I'm actually a transplant from the New York area, and having lived up there for quite a number of years and seen the shenanigans that our current president is and has been subject to on his own accord, I just want to say how A, surprised, and B, disgusted I am that this is the leader of our country.
All right, Steve, thank you for your comment. We're short on time, but Allie, do you think the president will stay the course? Will he finish his term?
I think the president will finish his term, but Republicans better get real serious, real fast in protecting our majorities, because Pennsylvania was a wake-up call, and Democrats are so radical in their positions right now that they would impeach the president next year if they have the opportunity to.
Dan downtown. Hi, Dan. You'll be our final caller for Ali and Dr. Flournoy. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dr. Flournoy. Although Trump's shabby treatment of Tillerson is horrible, do we really need to feel sorry for someone who got $180 million golden parachute from Exxon, money that could have been taxed to pay for education and health care for commoners?
All right. Melissa, what about Rex Tillerson? Are you crying for Rex?
No, I think I'm more crying for the country and the lack of professionalism on behalf of the president and how he treats his cabinet. And I think I'm really more concerned about sort of the lack of expertise in these important offices that provide the structure and direction for the country. And I think we're at a very dangerous time right now, and that we need clear-headed, competent people running the State Department, running the CIA, and I'm very concerned about where the direction of the country is headed.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, Dr. Melissa Flournoy and Ali Akbar, and we'll be calling on both of you again soon. I know we had some people waiting, but I'm sure we'll have our guests back on soon, and thank you for calling the show. 877-217-5757 is your number. As we switch gears, we're joined now by Tammy Duncan Swope. She's from Lamar Advertising, but also is involved intricately with the American Business Women's Association, bringing together businesswomen of diverse occupations and providing opportunities for them to help themselves and others to grow personally and professionally. And good morning to you, Tammy.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you so much for having me.
Get a little closer. Well, tell us what's going on regarding this shoe project. I know Shaquille O'Neal wears a size 22. There might not be a big market for his used shoes, but others of different sizes might have some people out there who would like to wear their shoes. What are you doing?
Well, first, we would love to have Shaquille O'Neal shoes. That's a fact. But,
okay, hold on, hold on. You're going to have to switch microphones right here. So go ahead.
We would love to have Shaquille O'Neal shoes. That's a fact. We would love to have that as part of our collection. But I am with American Business Women's Association. The local chapter is La Capitale, and we're in the midst of our fundraiser. We are asking people to donate new and gently used shoes between now and April 7th. We've partnered with Funds2Org, and they are actually paying us for the shoes that we collect based on the weight collected. And this is what's helping us to raise money for our scholarship fund. It's really a way for Baton Rouge to help in two ways. They help us by funding our scholarships, but in turn, this organization teaches people in developing countries how to start businesses and provides them with their startup inventory for their first entry into their entrepreneurship.
When you say gently used shoes, what do you mean by gently used shoes? They can only be worn once or twice?
No, actually, a little more than that. But we want them in good condition because ultimately they're going to developing countries, and we have young business people starting out, and we'll want them to be able to sell those for further use.
All right. And for those who would like to participate, how did they do it?
There are a couple of ways. If you know an American Business Women's Association or La Capitale chapter member, we will organize a pickup. You can reach out to us on our Facebook page, that's La Capitale, and send us a message, and we can arrange pickup. But we also have a drop-off location that's on Sherwood near Airline. It is 5422 Galleria Drive.
5422 Galleria Drive here in Baton Rouge.
That's
and,
right.
And what's the phone number? Do you have a phone number?
I'm sorry, I don't have a phone number, but you can look us up on our Facebook or on our ABWA website for La Capitale.
And that's American Business Women's Association. And how many shoes are you trying to get?
Our goal is 10,000 shoes, 10,000 pairs of shoes, and we are at about 20% of that right now and a little less than a month. So time is of the essence.
All right, and you want two shoes, right?
We want as many pair as can be given.
Okay, well, good luck to you. Worthy cause, and thank you for what you're doing with the American Business Women's Association. Thank you, Tammy Duncan Swope from Lamar Advertising. And we're joined now by Fairleigh Cook Jackson, who is the executive director, president of the group Preserve Louisiana, formerly the Historical Foundation of Louisiana. And you are dressed in green appropriately today. It is St. Patrick's Day almost in 2 days, and we're celebrating the Irish.
We are, and we put together an exciting event tonight, and it is one of our Lanyap lectures, and we're going to be celebrating Irish culture in Louisiana with a lecture from Dr. Laura Kelly from Tulane, and then traditional Irish cocktails with Jameson from Happy's Irish Pub and Irish food from Louisiana Culinary Institute. And this is made possible by support from the Lucky Law Firm.
All right. And this is tonight.
The main place.
The main place.
The old governor's.
The house that Huey built.
Yes, the house that Huey built. The old governor's mansion at 502 North Boulevard. And we're going to kick off at 6.
6 o'clock tonight. And it's always a festive occasion when Preserve Louisiana is involved.
Absolutely. We love to celebrate our culture, whether it's, you know, our stories or our architecture. And, you know, there's a significant presence of Irish culture in our state, especially in New Orleans. So we're excited to hear from Dr. Kelly about what that history looks like and learn some more from her.
And my guess is that you are Irish.
I've got a little bit in me there, yeah.
Fairly looks the part.
Mostly Scotch-Irish, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. And I remember the day when the big St. Patrick's Day celebration was on Chime Street at the Old Magoo's, which was a biker's bar. But now we celebrate St. Patrick's Day like few other cities in the country.
Absolutely. And I'm fortunate enough to live right on the parade route. So they line up in front of my house about, you know, 6 a.m. So that's, we say it's the party that we have no choice but to have.
Yeah, I know. And a lot of people, when they sell their homes, I see that it says it's on the parade route. I'm not sure that's a plus or a minus.
I think it depends on the buyer.
But it's a big time for celebration in Baton Rouge, St. Patrick's Day, and it all begins tonight at the old governor's mansion. So
yes, and if people are looking for details on the event, they can go to our website at preserve-louisiana.org and purchase their tickets. It's $25 for members and $35 for guests.
All right, that's tonight. Big bash at the old governor's mansion, and Fairley will be the host. And Preserve Louisiana is saluting itself because you fought mightily to keep tax cuts that are available for renovations of old buildings, part of the tax plan, and Senator Bill Cassidy carried the ball, and I understand you gave the senator an award for doing so this week.
We did. I just returned from D.C. last night. It was a wonderful week. It's actually Historic Preservation Advocacy Week. And on the national level, Louisiana just looks really great right now. You know, we rank number one across the country in utilization of the tax credits. And so, of course, we were at the forefront of the fight to save those credits during tax reform. So we were able to go up to D.C. and meet with our representatives and our senators and thank them in person. And Dr. Cassidy gave a really wonderful and inspiring speech to our coalition, and we were able to present an award to him and thank him.
And if the pictures are accurate, and I don't think they've been doctored, he hit you in the head with the award he got, didn't he?
He assaulted you, but I felt safe because he's a doctor, you know. So no, it was an accident. We were being silly.
Did he have to do like mouth-to-mouth resuscitation?
Oh, gosh, no. That would have been mightily uncomfortable. But we were all good, and just laughed and laughed and laughed. And then even in our meeting the next day, I told him I might just wear a helmet to that, just in case. But
okay, well, congratulations on keeping the tax incentives alive. And in Baton Rouge, this community has probably benefited as much as any community in America from those.
Absolutely. And not just, you know, our urban centers, but across our rural areas in Louisiana, too, the utilization of the tax credit is what's keeping those main streets alive.
Well, thank you, Fairley Cook Jackson. And tonight, it'll be a festive occasion starting 6 o'clock at the old governor's mansion on North Boulevard in Baton Rouge. And do want to note that funeral arrangements have been finalized for the Zachary firefighter and reserve police officer who was killed Monday night in the line of duty. The service for Deputy Fire Chief Christopher Lawton will be held at noon Saturday, Zachary United Methodist Church. And that's at 4205 Church Street in Zachary. And there will be a procession to Clinton where Officer Lawton will be buried. And certainly this man was a true hero and died in the line of duty. And we wish his family well in this most difficult time. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Lots going on tomorrow. We'll hear from Jeremy Alford of Law Politics. His mentor, John McGinnis, who died a few years ago, would have been 70 years old come Saturday on St. Patrick's Day, and we'll talk about the legacy of John James McGinnis. We'll also hear from Mark Ballard, Capitol Bureau Chief from The Advocate, and much more. Until then, for Becca Dill and Allie Baltazar, I'm Jim Inkster. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.
For a podcast of today's show, go to WRKF.org or find the Talk Louisiana podcast on the WRKF app. We welcome your feedback and topic suggestions. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Talk Louisiana is a production of WRKF in Baton Rouge.